United States versus Gallo Vasquez. Mr. Schwing?
Good morning, Your Honor.
Morning.
Good morning, counsel. May it please the court, this is a case where the government agents discovered a truck containing charcoal bags with marijuana concealed inside crossing the border, brought the truck up to Chicago and busted the people that were unloading the truck. Of the eight people that were arrested that day, two were charged, Mr. Gallo Vasquez and Mr. Sanchez Diaz. Sanchez Diaz pleaded guilty, testified at Gallo Vasquez's trial. Two issues are raised on appeal, both related to sentencing. Number one, did the court err in enhancing Mr. Gallo Vasquez's sentence by three levels as a manager or a supervisor? And the government raises on cross appeal whether the four-level downward departure for his status as a deportable alien was appropriate. With respect to the manager-supervisor enhancement, there was no finding on the record of the necessary five or more criminally culpable participants in the offense. That's what the guideline requires. That's what the circuit's case law requires. Of course, we don't get to that issue if the argument has been waived, and the government suggests that it has. The argument has not been waived. Possibly it has been forfeited. I think not even that. Waiver, of course, is the intentional relinquishment of a known right. Mr. Gallo Vasquez objected to the pre-sentence report, claiming that he was just a laborer. At the sentencing hearing, however, he succeeded in removing one more person from the potential pool of criminally culpable participants, one Jose Ramos. He then began to argue what the evidence shows, Your Honor, at which point apparently he was cut off. So the record shows at most this may have been forfeited. I suggest that the record shows he tried to make the argument and was not able to do so. In the event that the issue has been forfeited, it's reviewable for plain error, and the error here is plain. The law was clear at the time. Need to be a specific finding of five or more criminally culpable participants on the record. And this court's precedent in the United States versus Patel teaches that that is an essential finding for the district court, not the circuit court, to make. The government has attempted to remedy that deficiency on appeal, but this is not the court to make that decision. On cross appeal, an interesting issue. The government suggests that this court should overrule its prior precedent in a case called United States, and I have no idea how to pronounce this.
I was counting on you. I hope Mr. Berkowitz won't fail.
I can spell it. It's F-A-R-O-U-I-L. I'm going to say Farouil for the time being. The government's suggestion that case should be overruled is clearly prohibited by the Supreme Court's holding in Coon versus Powell and numerous other cases that hold that courts cannot categorically exclude any considerations as sentencing matters. That's the Sentencing Commission's job. The government's argument should be properly placed in front of the Sentencing Commission. Farouil was decided back in 1997. The Sentencing Commission has had 4.5 years to do something about it if the Sentencing Commission thought something should be done.
But there is a split. The Second Circuit isn't enamored of our position, is it?
Well, it wasn't. It wasn't. I think the Second Circuit's cases are pre-Coon, though. I'm not sure about that. In any event, the Attorney General is an ex officio member of the Sentencing Commission. He can bring that issue before the Sentencing Commission. He should ask the Sentencing Commission to change the guidelines, not this court. If the court is interested in discussing the merits of the government's argument on this issue, I'll be happy to do that. I thought the argument about impingement on the Bureau of Prisons prerogatives was very interesting, especially since Kuhn addressed exactly that issue when they allowed a downward departure because of the successive federal prosecution to a state prosecution. Now that, I suggest, is a significant impingement on prosecutorial discretion under the government's theory. And we also have to consider 18 U.S.C. 3261, which requires the Bureau of Prisons, to consider the statements of the sentencing court with respect to purposes of sentence, type of facility, and location of facility, as well as the policy statements of the sentencing commission.
The conditions of confinement? Do you want to speak to that, Mr. Schwinn, whether they're atypical?
Well, they are atypical. For example, no boot camp, which means at least possibly two more years on a sentence that somebody that was boot camp eligible could get, higher security level, all of those issues, which the Sentencing Commission can deal with.
With the high percentage of individuals who are aliens that are convicted, how does this become atypical?
Your Honor, I think it's a significant issue, quite frankly. I don't think it's rare. I think it's probably common. But again, the Sentencing Commission wants to deal with that. That's their problem. The extent of the departure is four levels downward, and the government suggests that that's too much. I suggest the court look back at what happened in Kuhn, where Stacey Kuhn got a three-level downward departure because of the possibility, unquantified, that he might get beat up while he was in jail, and because of the successive prosecutions. Here we have three levels, not linked to anything in the guidelines in Kuhn, because of what Mr. Kuhn did. In our case, we have four levels downward because of the certainty of harsher conditions of confinement, longer confinement than Kuhn got, linked to the basic foundation of the guideline to prevent unwarranted sentence disparities, not because of what Mr. Gallo did, but because of who he is. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schwinn. Ms. Berkowitz?
May it please the court, counsel. The district court in this case departed downward 75 months from the applicable guideline range based solely on the fact that the defendant's status as a deportable alien made him ineligible to spend the final 6 months of his sentence at a halfway house. The district court's departure in this case illustrates why this court needs to re-examine its holding in Faroul. As evidenced by the district court's holding in this case, Faroul is being used in this case and others like it to give district courts unfettered discretion.
Well, do we need to overrule it, or do we need to perhaps redefine the parameters or of appropriate departure within the context of the case?
As it currently stands, Judge, I think the court needs to redefine the appropriate parameters to hold that as a matter of law, the fact that a deportable alien may be subject to some increases in the severity of the conditions of confinement and may be ineligible for certain Bureau of Prison programs, standing alone, cannot form the basis for a valid departure from the guidelines.
Well, this defendant, for example, wouldn't have been eligible for boot camp in any event, would he?
Exactly, Your Honor. He would not have. In fact, in this case, all that Mr. Gallo-Vasquez got was what the Sentencing Commission, or would have gotten absent the departure, is what the Commission itself contemplated. That is, a sentence within the applicable guideline range. For every Zone D defendant, such as the defendant in this case, even if they're a deportable alien, all that they will get under a sentence is a sentence within the guideline range, and that is specifically
was
what...
Was that brought to the attention of the district judge here? The record reflected that was brought to the attention of the district judge.
It was...
A colloquy would indicate that that was made clear to him?
There was no colloquy, Your Honor. There were extensive briefs filed before the district court on this issue.
So his attention was called to it in the briefs?
To the district court.
Right.
Yes. So that
at the time of sentencing, there was no exchange regarding this?
Regarding the departure, there was an exchange, Your Honor. The district court said that he would consider the issue of the departure the context of aggravation and mitigation. The government at that point objected to any departure based on its extensive submission. Counsel for the defendant himself didn't raise any substantive issues whatsoever. In fact, the only issue that the district court noted and made a finding is that although he did not know many things about the defendant, he did know that as a result of his status as a deportable alien, he would be ineligible to serve the last 6 months. That is the only finding that the district court in this case made, and there were no other factors brought to his attention by the brief of the defendant. Indeed, the brief of the defendant raised nothing other than the standard issues that the government sees in parole departures, and that is that the defendant is ineligible for certain benefits that a citizen defendant may be eligible for. The district court was also made aware through the brief of the fact that a deportable alien in fact gets a better sentence than that is contemplated by the guidelines, for the very reason that once Mr. Gallo Vasquez is deported, he will not be subject to the 5 years of supervised release. He, in essence, gets a free pass on any supervised release when he gets sent back to Mexico at the end of his sentence. To stress, in the fact that the deportable alien has to remain in prison for the entire sentence contemplated cannot form the basis for a valid downward departure, because that's exactly what the commission contemplated. To put it another way, the fact that some citizen defendants might catch a break and serve the final 6 months of their sentence in a halfway house does not take a deportable alien status outside the range of sentences contemplated by the commission. This court's ruling in Guzman took a large step away from parole and attempted to narrow the parole exception, this parole departure issue. And this court said in Guzman that only conditions of confinement that are substantially more onerous than those contemplated by the guidelines would form the basis for departure. The government in this case is asking the court to take the next step away from parole and say that there are no conditions of confinement that are substantially more onerous than those contemplated by the guidelines based solely on a defendant's status as a deportable alien. And that is, again, because those conditions of confinement are precisely what the commission contemplated. To not lose sight of the obvious, if defendant's position in this case and the district court's position in this case were allowed, then every deportable alien would be eligible for a departure, and district courts would have the unfettered discretion to depart, as in this case, 6 years or even more, based solely on the fact that someone that wasn't legal in this country committed a crime.
Mr. Berkowitz, is it the government's position that there just is no set of circumstances where it might be more onerous?
Your Honor, it is the government's position that we know of no set of circumstances or conditions of confinement that are substantially more onerous than the Sentencing Commission contemplated, because all a defendant will do is serve their sentence. It is up to the Bureau of Prisons as to how to determine whether a defendant will serve that sentence. So yes, Your Honor. Certainly, in this case, the two issues raised are as a matter of law not substantially more onerous, as has been held most recently by the Eighth Circuit in the Lopez-Solis case.
Well, that was my reason, my inquiry. I just wonder whether this case is a case that would require the kind of re-examination, total re-examination that you suggest. I mean, not inappropriate to ask, but I just wanted to see whether there was any other room in the case.
The approving of a departure in this case, the departure that was given by the district court in this case, and thereby authoring such departures in other cases, will sanction, in essence, a double standard of justice, where the defendant's status as a deportable alien will put him in a better position than citizen defendants convicted of the exact same crime. Such a result would not only be unjust, it would be inconsistent with the guidelines themselves that hold that such departures will be highly infrequent. It would be inconsistent with the precedent of both the Supreme Court in Kuhn and this court's precedent in Guzman, and it would frankly defy common sense. For if the departure in this case were appropriate, then every district court in this circuit would have the unfettered discretion in every case involving deportable aliens to sentence the defendant without regard to the sentencing guidelines. The government respectfully requests that this court reverse the district court's departure and remand for resentencing within the applicable guideline range as found by the district court, including the finding that the defendant was a manager or supervisor of criminal conduct that implicated five or more persons.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Your Honors, if I understand the government properly, their arguments boil down to two things. Matters of policy, it's bad policy to allow a downward departure for a deportable alien or to overturn the district court's findings of fact. We have included in our appendix to our brief the pronouncement of the district court with respect to the downward departure for deportability status. And he says, I do know that because of Mr. Galavasquez's citizenship status, he will have a worse situation than would other persons of U.S. citizenship, convicted of the exact same thing with the exact same criminal history. And because when the fundamental purposes of the sentencing guidelines is to eliminate sentencing disparity, I will use my sentencing discretion to downwardly depart.
What were the disadvantages that attended his alienage?
He didn't enumerate them, Your Honor, quite frankly.
Yeah, well, could you perhaps?
Higher security clearance and ability to participate in drug rehabilitation programs. There's a detainer on him automatically. In this case,
that's true of every alien, right?
Pardon me?
There's a detainer on every alien.
Yeah. And perhaps it's a bad hole, perhaps, in the sentencing guideline. But it's not a hole for the court to plug. It's a hole for the Sentencing Commission to plug.
Uh-huh.
If Your Honors have no more questions, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Schmidt, and thank you, Mr. Berkowitz and Mr. Eldon. Case is taken under advisement. Court will stand in recess. Thank you.